Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's good to see you. We made it out. We had a large crowd this morning, which was wonderful, but I am so grateful to see those of us who are able to make it out this evening. Again, our visiting brother for the month or so that we have you, thanks for making it out again. It's good to see you this evening as well. Amen. This topic, and we'll do the scripture reading in just a moment, but the topic that I wanted to and I've been reflecting on this week was very similar to the lesson I got to bring last Sunday evening, and that is, are we really becoming more Christ-like? Last week was, are we becoming stronger Christians? And I gave kind of some suggestions and things that I know that I need to improve upon in my faithfulness, but tonight I want to talk about, are we becoming more Christ-like? And I pray and hope that we are. Now, if you would follow along here, 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning of verse 6, it reads, "When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is standing before him.'" Right? Tall, strong, son of Jesse. Surely this is the one. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God does not see as man sees, since man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So this evening I want to talk a little about, I guess, some fake self-righteous rubrics we might have set up for ourselves to deem ourselves, and then we'll kind of knock down those arguments quickly, and then we'll move on to hopefully some more biblical standards, some real Christian rubrics, which of course are much harder, that we should be examining ourselves and judging ourselves against. But before we get into this lesson, though, about our spiritual growth, about us becoming more Christ-like, which is the goal, let's first go to our Father in prayer briefly. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening thanking you again for who you are, for all that you do for us. Dear God, we do believe that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Dear God, we know that as disciples and as followers of you, that we still hold on to too many weights. We still hold on to too many sins that hold us back from running this race you set before us. Dear God, we pray that you would give us the insight and the wisdom, for we know that you would liberally give these things to us if we ask. We pray that with this wisdom that we can examine ourselves the way that you see us, that we can see that inward person, that we can make those hard and tough and time-consuming decisions to be more like your Son. Dear God, we thank you for the word that you've given us. We pray that we would be better stewards of it, that we would read it more, that we would meditate on it more, that we every day would lay ourselves down, that we would become more like your Son. Dear God, we pray always that you would be with this body here in West Fayetteville. May we always strive to do what is right. May we always strive to be within your truth. May we strive to be unified in love and in peace. We thank you for everyone here. We pray that if it be your will, that you would continue to bless us as you have. Our God, we ask all these things through your Son's name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Again, this evening I want to discuss the rubric that we often use as members of the Lord's Church to evaluate one another and to evaluate ourselves. And then we're going to transition and talk about what God's measure is and how that ought to be our standard as well. You know, we often measure the spiritual growth of ourselves and even our fellow brothers and sisters by what? Well, by attendance. Well, if they attend all the services offered, then they must be strong, faithful Christians. And then the flip side of that concept, right? If a brother and sister only attend some of the services offered, well, they clearly must be weak. And if for any reason they do not participate in all that the church offers, well, their commitment to the Lord is clearly suspect. Right? We question their motives. And what about their abilities and how they participate? Well, men in the church are often considered strong, faithful Christians if they're willing and able to lead in singing and prayer, to assist with the Lord's Supper, to teach a class, or to preach a sermon. But arguably, the women among us are much more faithful than we are. Women likewise are often considered strong, faithful Christian women if they're willing to teach a class, whether for our children or even for other women in the body. And let me be very clear, right? I'm not here this evening to preach that we shouldn't try to make it out to as many services as we can, or that in all these positions, whether Bible class teachers, whether preachers, we need these important positions filled. They're here to edify, to build up one another. They're important. But the problem is that with these, they all tend to measure the outside of a person. They all measure the things that we can see with our own two eyes. A person can do all these things and even do them well and still be spiritually destitute on the inside. I have known in my life, and I'm sure you know them by name, many hypocrites that exist very comfortably within such an outward measure of one's faithfulness. The truth is that many Christians can remain in a dangerous state of spiritual immaturity if this is the only rubric that they use. And this mindset also neglects the most multifaceted nature of the body of Christ, right? Not all of us are meant to be preachers, and that's all right. Not all of us are meant to lead singing, that's all right. Not all of us are meant to teach a class, and that's all right. Right? We know in the body of Christ in Romans 12, right, 3 through 8, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each in measure of faith. For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the body's parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual parts to one another. That's what we are. This is what the church is. However, since we have gifts that differ, we aren't different, thank God. We're all very different. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to use them properly. In the story of the talents, right? The one talent servant, the two, or the five. The servant wasn't more or less faithful because he had more talents. If prophecy in proportion to one's faith, if service in the act of service, or if one teaches in the act of teaching, or the one who exhorts in the work of exhortation, there's so many different ways. The one who gives, that might be your gift, with generosity. The one who is in leadership, with diligence. The one who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Right? These are all equally important in the Lord's church. Let's not put, because someone has the gift to stand up here and preach, or the gift to sing, or the gift of prayer, that somehow they're further along their spiritual maturity. So what does the Bible reveal as the rubric that we ought to be measuring ourselves against? To really be honest with ourselves, if we are spiritually growing. Well, the Bible, again, as we read in 1 Samuel, it's an inward one. It's tough. It's messy. It's complicated. We're dealing with us inside. Let's look at some of these passages here. And these ought to be the things that we examine ourselves against, right? Let's not kid ourselves and say, because I make it to every service, again, which I think is a good thing, I'm somehow closer to Christ. We have that backwards. I pray you're closer to Christ and you hope to make it out here. It has to be in that order. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. When do you do this? When do you present your bodies as a living? In the hour we come together to worship? Always. That's the connotation. Always. Are you always presenting your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God? Which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What God wants isn't just some outward sign. He wants a transformation from the inside out. Transform the way you think. So in Galatians 5, beginning of verse 22, we all know this well. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Not preaching, not singing, not teaching. These, because these are the weighty things. These are the important things that we can't neglect. We can't be like the Pharisees who keep the minor things that are easy for us. And we neglect the weighty things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself. Right? Humble yourself. Realize who you are. So that you are not tempted as well. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Right? As Christians, we have to realize, before Christ, we thought we were it, right? We were hot stuff. We realize, when Christ puts our life in perspective, when we have been disillusioned from this false reality we lived in, we realize we are nothing. Everything we have is because of God. I didn't earn anything I have. It humbles you, right? It makes you get rid of that pride you have. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. So, as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so must you do also. In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts. That's what we're talking about. Christ, God sees the inward person. He sees the heart. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Excuse me. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks through him to God the Father. You know, brothers and sisters, true transformation, true spiritual growth of what you are is messy. It's difficult. It's hard. It's time-consuming. The things that Christ has asked us, these weights, right, the ego, the pride that we have to say down, is a lot of work. The change that God wants for you is first the transformation of your mind. The transformation of your heart, as we see in the Old Testament, the beautiful writing, your heart of stone to be replaced with a heart of flesh. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. And then, of course, in time, the outward person, right, your actions will change. Your behavior will change. But then it will be genuine. You may be growing in your ability to preach or teach, and I pray that you are if this is your gift. But how does that inner person look? These aren't necessarily connected. When you look at the fruit of your life, are you growing? The nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are what? They're all inward qualities. They're all complicated. And like when I got to preach on the Holy Spirit several months ago, right? It's one fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If a fruit has eight really good qualities, but one rotting quality, one bad quality, it's not good fruit. Right? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Right? Is your fruit waxy and shiny and looks great? but it tastes like garbage. We have to be honest. Look at your fruit. Examine yourselves. Look inwardly. You know, brothers and sisters, we only see each other for a few hours a week, sadly. And it's very easy for any of us to put on a show and just pretend that these few hours to be something on the outside, that on the inside, we're really not. But know this, and we all know this, that the Lord can see and does see that inner person. And our Lord is so powerful, He can even see through the lies that you tell yourself. He knows who you are, even if you've convinced yourself otherwise. So let's talk about some very particular ways to apply this. Some application. Are you actually growing? We're going to talk about each one of these verses here, and then we'll discuss them briefly. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. So, brothers and sisters, how often do I, for that matter, think about others in comparison to thinking about myself? How much am I willing to take a genuine interest in the things that matter most to other people, even if the truth is they don't really matter to me? How often am I willing and how often do I put other people's needs before and above my own? We're repulsed by the person who always has to prove their point, a person who always insists on being right all the time. But are we that person also? These people isolate people. These people burn bridges. These people are not spiritually growing. Brothers and sisters, especially if you're married, are you growing in this? Are you growing in humility? Are you growing, as we just read, considering one another more important than yourself? Or how are you even at the workplace? Are you pleasant to be around? Are you known as a good, hardworking servant? Are you an honest, hard worker? Are you one who complains and makes everything about themselves? Consider these things. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Brothers and sisters, a great sign, a great measurement, if you will, of your spiritual maturity is how you treat your spouse. Men especially, am I growing in our love for our wives? The standard, the bar, as we talk about all the time, is set extremely high. How much do we have to love our bride? How much do we have to love our wife? As Christ loved the church, right? I can't even completely understand how much Christ loves the church. The bar is set beyond my comprehension. I have known great preachers of God's word that treat their wives like garbage. Needless to say, at the very least, I see such men as weak, immature, lacking in faith. Again, the goalpost that we have is to love our wives as Christ loves His church. Try to meditate, especially with my men this evening. Try to meditate this week on what that means to you. And I challenge you, if you would be so brave, to have this serious conversation with your wife. Ask her, am I growing in the love that I must be demonstrating toward you? Do I love you more like Christ loves His church than I did in the past? It is impossible to be growing as a Christian and not also be growing in the love that you're supposed to have for your spouse. So look at Ephesians chapter 4:29, and then also tied in with this, Proverbs 16:28. It reads in Ephesians, "Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but if there is any good word for edification," right, for building up, "according to the need of the moment, say that, so that it will give grace to those who hear." And in Proverbs it says, "A perverse person sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends." A whisperer. Brothers and sisters, another great litmus test, if you will, another great test that we can do, see if we're really growing as Christians, is how often do we gossip? We see gossip hurts everybody. It hurts neighbors, it divides friends, it damages reputations and relationships. The Bible labels people who gossip as untrustworthy and meddlesome. You might have been taught that, well, if it's true, it can't be gossip, right? But that's not the case. Needlessly sharing shameful truth about someone else is also gossip. One biblical phrase for this kind of speech that we can see is, it would use the phrase, a bad report, that you have a bad report, such as what Joseph brought against his brothers. Just because we know of something that someone is doing does not mean that we need to or we get to talk about it with others. A gossip bears news behind the person's back. That's the idea here in Proverbs with whisper, right? If I know something my brother is suffering from, right, and I want to talk to him, maybe even with other people because I think it'd be beneficial, that's one thing. If I know he's suffering from something and I tell other people about it and he's not in the room to hear it, that's gossip. That's gossip. That's not benefiting him, even if it happens to be true. So my brothers and sisters, I hope this has been beneficial to you this evening. I hope you've learned something. Obviously, with all these things, I hope and pray we all meditate. We look inward. We look at the mirror of God's word, that we are growing in honesty with ourselves, with how we are. And we realize how much work we still have to do, all of us, become more like our Savior, become more Christ-like. Again, the purpose of discussing this evening, the measurements that we ought to be using of a Christian, has not been, don't get me wrong, to go around and judge others. Because these inward things, we don't see. We don't really know. These inward traits, we can barely see for ourselves. But rather, my point this evening was to suggest caution in how we judge ourselves. Have we become like the Pharisees, set up our own rubric of righteousness and say, look, I have met all these things. Look, I pray and I fast, right? Look at all the things I have done, Lord. Have we set up a rubric that God never set up? What God wants is you. He wants your heart as his throne. He wants all of you, not part of you. He doesn't want an outward lip service. He wants a genuine relationship. So I hope and pray that we will think about these things, that if there's anything you need to readjust, if you will, in your life, to be more closer to the rubric that God wants, that you might actually be growing spiritually. And I pray that we all will continue to examine ourselves and continue on our individual walks with our Lord. And I pray that you're growing in your relationship with Him. Brothers and sisters, I do believe that everyone here this evening is indeed a Christian and knows the truth. That I don't know your relationship. I don't know what struggles you might be going through. So if there is anyone here this evening that needs anything that the church here can help you, whether prayers, something you're struggling with, or in any other way that we can help you with your journey with our Savior, please, we want to offer this time now come and talk to me about it and share it with the congregation as we stand and sing together.